You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 58.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your mindful marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. I know how frustrating it can be to launch a new business, so I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It is everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, make money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can also be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Carrie Charles. Carrie is a life coach, speaker, and author on the forthcoming new book, The 5 Principles of Limitless Power, Destroy Your Limitations and Claim Your Destiny. Carrie is the ultimate example of how each of us can overcome adversity and achieve purposeful success. After growing up in a Tennessee trailer park, losing her parents and siblings, enduring abuse, dealing with depression, and fighting her son's cancer, she created a multiple six-figure business with a seven-figure net worth. Carrie is one of the most elite life coaches in the country. She now consults with entrepreneurs who have created companies valued at over $1 billion, CEOs, celebrities, movie producers, and world champion athletes. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kimberly. I'm so excited to be here.
You have, I was saying before we got on that I was trying to shorten your bio a little bit, but you've got a lot in there and I wanted to keep it in. So let's talk about your life story a bit and how you, your personal journey and how you came down this path to creating and being one of the top life coaches.
You know, my story is the reason why I do what I do. And it, you know, it all started when I was younger and I was abused. I was actually molested by my father. And lived in a trailer park. We had no money. My mom made my clothes. My mom was actually a housekeeper. And I would go with her to clean people's houses. And I would see these big, beautiful mansions. And I would just sit and dream that one day I'm going to live in one of those. And so life went on. And you know, my teen years were really, really difficult. My mom was married 5 times. And you know, when my mom found out my dad was molesting me, she wouldn't let him see me anymore because they got a divorce. So it was very difficult for me in my teen years. And then when I was 17, my father died of a stroke. And I had to actually turn off his life support because I was his only living relative at the time. And so it was very traumatic for me. And I did something crazy after that. I was just so depressed. I dropped out of college and I was in a parking lot one day after being up all night partying with my girlfriends. And so I was working in a bar and my life had just completely changed. And in this parking lot, a Marine Corps recruiter came up to us and started talking to us. And it was, you know, we'd been up all night and it was like 8 a.m. And he started talking to us about the Marines. And one of my girlfriends looked at me and she said, "I dare you to join the Marines. You could never." I know, it was crazy. She goes, "You could never do that." And I just, at that moment, I just looked at her and I thought about my life and it was just going nowhere. And it was horrible. And I walked into the Marine Corps recruiter's office and I signed the paper and I didn't even ask any questions. Oh. At all. I mean, it was crazy. It's like I walked out, I called my mom, told her what I did, and she started crying. And then I went and I got all my hair cut off real short and I joined the Marines. And I really believe, even though I did it on a dare and it was crazy, but it saved my life. And from that point on, you know, I really started having a more successful life. However, I still went through adversity. My my mother died, my sister died, both of my mom and my sister to suicide, and then my other sister died. And I lost all my grandparents, my stepfather. So there was a lot of death over just maybe a 6 or 7 year period in my life. And I met a man, fell in love. I thought, okay, this is going to be it. I'm going to have an amazing life. I'm not going to let this get to me. So we fell in love and we created this phenomenal life. And I had two kids and it was beautiful. And then suddenly found out he was cheating on me for the entire marriage. So the entire 8 years we were married. So then I went ahead and filed for divorce. And about, I don't know, 6 months later, found out that our 11-year-old son had cancer. So it would just so also happen to be that our business at the time, we had to close the business. So not only had we lost everything financially, we're now dealing with my son's cancer and going through a divorce. And it was at that point, it was just almost too much to bear for me. So it was hard. And then I thought about it. I'm like, I know I have a purpose in my life. I'm supposed to be doing something. I have no idea what it is. And one day, one of my really close friends, she said, I fired my life coach. And I'm like, what's a life coach? What does that mean? And she goes, well, I want you to be my life coach. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And ever since that day, I have found my calling. I mean, when I talk to people, I get tears in my eyes. I feel amazing. I get energized and I'm able to use all those terrible things and all that adversity and pain and just the problems I had to help other people through the exact same thing. So
that's amazing. I mean, you know, it seems so horrendous at the time, but you know, there's always that light at the end of the tunnel kind of, and be able to use that information and those experiences to help others. We don't see it at the time, but then we're like, oh, that's why.
Sure don't. That's it. We sure don't see it at the time, right? I know.
So now your friend has asked you to be her life coach, which is awesome. And then, so how did you actually turn it into a business and a thriving business at that? What were your steps to actually say, okay, now I'm going to actually advertise, market myself and see who else is out there?
Well, you know, I coached her and then she referred me to maybe two or three other people and I was coaching them, but it didn't feel like a real business to me. It felt, you know, I was still working actually in one of our other businesses full time. So this just felt like something I was doing on the side. And I remember at one point a client had just left my office and I thought, I want to be a life coach. I'm going to be one now. I'm going to say I'm one first. And then it's gonna manifest. So what I decided to do is run an ad in this local magazine that's really, really popular and spend the money on the ad, put myself out there as a life coach to everybody that I know and get cards made. And then I would walk around to every dinner party, everywhere I went, and I would say, this is what I do. I'm a life coach. And after that ad came out, it was very powerful for me because it felt like, at that point, it felt like a business. It felt like something that I was doing and making money at. So that was powerful. And then the other part of it is I started seeing everybody. You know, I've taken so many courses where they tell you, you know, get your niche, pick one niche, don't coach everyone, don't try to help everybody. Well, that wasn't me. I mean, I did the mirror test. If they could fog up a mirror, they're in my, you know, they're talking to me. It's like, are you alive? Okay, we got this. We're going to do it. So I had no target market. I was talking to every single person that would talk to me and that would hire me. And, you know, again, there's positive and negatives to that, but the positives were that I was able to really market myself in a short period of time, see a lot of people. And then I had more opportunities to get referrals from those people. And then I got to see who I like to work with and who I didn't like to work with, you know?
That's always the key.
Right. So that's kind of how I got started. But I really got started in one-on-one coaching. And it, you know, for me, it was very, very successful. You know, I had probably 15 to 20 clients a week. And I didn't really need anything else. I was happy. I was doing great. I thought, this is wonderful. So until about a year ago when that wasn't enough. You know the story.
Yes. How do we make this bigger?
Right.
So I'm going to branch a little bit here. So you're going through a kind of a growth and branding of yourself. So let's talk a little bit about what you're learning in having set yourself up, and now you're taking it to the next level. So what are the things that you're doing to put in place to market to different clients, hiring clients, and I mean, in the fact that you are already working with the hiring clients, how did you make that transition from the people that you knew to the next level, and then now again the next level with the new stuff that you're going to be doing in the future?
Okay, from a marketing perspective, referrals were my main source of marketing. And the way that I handled the referrals is, if a client or a friend or somebody that I met at the mall, you know, mentioned a name to me, I would immediately get their phone number and I would aggressively go after them to get them as a client. So I wouldn't wait for them to call me. I really looked at it as a sales process, in other words. And so I continued to do that, and it kept pushing me into higher and higher and higher markets. And then I would get, then a professional athlete would come in, and then, you know, somebody would come in that had a business that's worth $80 million, and it just kept going and going. And they would refer me to somebody that they knew that also was in that same realm. So about a year ago, I took a course, and I thought, you know, I'm going to learn how to take my business to the next level. And then I just completely got overwhelmed with everything that I had to do to get into this next space of online marketing, online courses, really scaling my business to reach more people. And so I thought, well, I'm going to keep learning so I learn more, and then I'll know more and I'll be fine. Well, that was even the worst thing to do, because I got more overwhelmed. I must have taken 7 courses in a year.
No.
And I at one point, I remember I literally was sitting crying, just thinking, I don't know how to do any of this. I mean, I'm not good technically on the computer. I don't understand it. And then I would constantly compare myself to other people that are doing it. And
that's
wondering,
the killer, isn't it? When we start comparing, it just sucks the life out of you. We start comparing
the life out of you. And you know, I would obviously do that on my down days. I'd sit and I just go through everybody that was successful. I'm like, oh, look at her and look at what they're doing. So, you know, it took a long time before I actually had to just sit back and get a hold of myself and say, look, Carrie, just start with one thing. One thing. You know, you don't have to, it's like eating an elephant in this business to really scale it and make it big and, you know, be a success. So said, so start with one thing, go deep and make it really, really good. So I decided to start with one product, which was a book. And the other marketing strategy I started with was Facebook. So I kind of ignored everything else and everybody else. I turned off my computer. I'm like, no, don't look at other people. And then I started working on the book. So that was last May, and I hired somebody to collaborate with me to help me with the, put my words, make them sound pretty, and create the book proposal. And then I really learned Facebook. I learned Facebook advertising, marketing. I just got in there and I studied it for months and months and months. So what came of that was really, really an entire strategy now, because the book, I ended up getting a top agent to represent me for the book. And that is going to be pitched to publishers in January. So that is on its way to success, because I really focused on it and just put all my energy into that one thing. The Facebook marketing that I've done has been a phenomenal success. I went from, I think now it's 5,000 to almost 17,000 followers, but they're my target market followers, not just random. And also it increased my list by like 1,000%.
Wow.
So my strategy now with using one marketing strategy, one product, that's currently, you know, what I've been focusing on. Now I'm expanding and I'm, you know, hiring people to help me to make good decisions in all these other areas that I felt overwhelmed with. So like branding, making sure my website, I'm creating a brand new website, brand new branding. I'm learning Instagram now, like something new, really, you know, Twitter, Pinterest, like getting out there a little bit and trying to figure out, okay, what's next? I've, you know, the weekly email newsletter I've had for years, I'm tweaking that. Blogging, you know, I'm putting it all together now. It's almost like I can put the whole thing together as a unit, but now I have some other people that are helping me do it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's such a key is having those people that really are the experts in what they do. And you do what you do, your unique ability, and let them handle the heavy work of the stuff you just don't want to deal with.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So
fastest way to get to the goal.
right. And it is. And you know, and it's, I often hear this from, even from my clients, like, I just, you know, I can't afford it. I can't afford to hire this person. I can't afford to hire this coach. I can't, you know, afford to do this. And, you know, really I couldn't either. I mean, I had to stretch myself. I really had to stretch myself in order to do some of the things that I've done in the past 6 months. And it's been very scary. Very, very scary.
Yeah, but it'll pay off in the long run, and that's the thing.
Yes, it will.
Invest in yourself, and it all comes around.
Yes.
So let's talk about your Facebook strategy, because I know everyone gets so overwhelmed with social media, and you've nailed it. And I know I have a client that she's got like 40,000 followers, and she's done an incredible job with it. So what are some of your tips on Facebook that you've learned, and you can even talk about a certain course if there was a course of someone that you really like, because I think my listeners would like to get some more details.
Yes. Okay, so the course that I used, and I only took one. Again, I'm really big on picking one thing, and that's worked for me. Amy Porterfield has a course on Facebook marketing, and it's fabulous. So Amy Porterfield's online course. And I took her course, and then what I was doing wrong with Facebook is I wasn't targeting, not only was I not targeting my, you know, my fans or who I was looking for, I wasn't targeting my posts to anyone. I was just posting for everyone.
Mm.
And so what I decided to do was pick a very, you know, small segment of, you know, women age, you know, let's say, you know, 35 to 55 who have very specific interests. You know, they're interested. You can do all of this on Facebook, but you go in and you target your ads to be very specific to the person that you want. So I had a person in my mind as an ideal client that I know, that I see every week. And so I made her my target. And I said, what do you like on Facebook? What do you follow? You know, and I created the ad around her. So then I went back and I started posting to her. So not posting, you know, to a 60-year-old man or a 25-year-old woman, or, you know, oh, this is a funny thing, I'm going to put this up there. Before, I was just grabbing everything. Then I started really speaking to one person, and my likes went through the roof. My the involvement of my fans increased. I started getting leads. I started getting people crossing over and working with me.
That conversion rate, we seem to forget. People are like, oh, yeah, I have X amount of followers. I have 50,000 followers. I'm like, well, how many are on your list?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a big factor. So with, you know, with Facebook, I think, you know, my strategy and what's been valuable for me is really targeting and focusing on that one ideal client and everything that she likes. And I put that in my, you know, my ad set. And then practicing.
Yeah. That avatar, the ideal client, I can't stress that enough, that is the first thing everybody has to do. And if you don't, you're right, you're all over the place and you're targeting to, you know, 60-year-old men and 17-year-old kids. Right. And you're like, wait.
Yeah, you're like, this is a great post. I'll put this up there. I'll put this. And I'm so specific now in what I post. And the other thing that's really helped me, which I don't know if you do this, but it's creating my own posts with Canva,
yep.
My own pictures with my own sayings. And I really take a lot of time with it. And I'm very, very particular in making them beautiful and, you know, from a visual standpoint and something that's also very emotional. So the person who reads it has an emotional experience. And I'll tell you what happened once. I was in a restaurant right outside of Tampa where I live, and I'm in the bar waiting for my table. And I swear to you, a girl walks up to me, you know, again, probably 38, and she goes, "Are you Carrie Charles?" And this was funny. This really does never, it's never happened to me, okay? And I'm thinking, oh no, what did I do? Am I parked in the wrong place? I'm like, what happened? And she goes, "You have a Facebook page, don't you? Aren't you a life coach?" She said, "I just want to tell you that I follow you and you have helped me through some of the hardest times over the past few months in my life."
Aw, that's amazing.
Out of Facebook. And I thought, that is this, oh my gosh. And it made me feel wonderful because that was my avatar. She was right in front of me.
That's beautiful. When
it was really cool.
You hit the right people. Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. So that strategy works well of really the targeting and the speaking to that person.
Absolutely. So now with your book, which I have to say congratulations on getting an awesome agent.
Thank you.
And so what are the things that you're finding are specific to that process that a lot of people that listen talk about self-publishing, which is fantastic. You've decided to go the traditional route. So what are the things that they're having you do that you didn't realize you needed to do when you're working with trying to get a publisher on board to do this the traditional way?
Well, when I started this process again, this was all Chinese to me. And, you know, I just had to take a deep breath and just go very, very slow and learn it step by step. And I decided to, you know, to really go the traditional route from the beginning because I created a book proposal versus writing the entire book. So I thought, okay, I want to go the traditional route because I want to be an author. I thought you can be an author in really going self-publishing or traditional, but I looked at it and I thought from my limited knowledge, I wanted to be an author in bookstores. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I wanted to be in bookstores, an author. Like you'd walk into a bookstore and there's my book and you see it and you pick it up and you go buy it. So in my limited knowledge at the time, that's what I thought traditional publishing meant. So I thought self-publishing, I would not have that option. So I went ahead and I wrote the book proposal. I hired somebody to help me with that. So I was in pretty deep with the book proposal. And then I started learning more about the process and realized that you don't have to have a traditional publisher to be in bookstores and that you can, you know, there's all kinds of options. There's something called a hybrid publisher that can get you into bookstores. So I went to the seminar where I met you.
Yep.
Kimberly.
Author 101.
Yep. I went to the seminar and I thought, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm going to learn how to do this because it's, you know, it's all very confusing and I don't know if I want to go traditional. I really don't know what I want to do. So then I did get an offer from an agent to represent me at that conference. And I also got an offer from a hybrid publisher to represent me, which is, you know, it's kind of a cross between self-publishing and traditional publishing. So I had to make a decision as to which way to go. And it was probably one of the hardest decisions I've had to make in my career because I didn't really have all the information I needed at the time to make a decision. And, you know, I didn't understand it well enough to say, okay, I'm going to pick door number A or door number B.
Right.
So I did something very, very strategic. I sat down for like, I don't know, an hour and prayed. I just prayed and prayed. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, both roads were wonderful. And I just really didn't know what to do. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I started feeling very comfortable with the traditional route, with the agent and the traditional route. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pick it. Just pick something and get moving. So that's what I did, and chose it, got in, started going. And then now my book proposal that I was so proud of and so excited about needs to be changed. Okay. Cause it's not, it's, you know, it's, it needs more, it needs this, it needs that, it needs, you know, it's not enough, it's not you, we need to rewrite this. And so now we're working on changing that. And, you know, in that process, I hired a different collaborator to help me with that process, a writer. And so then he started talking to me about branding, about who I was and who I wanted to represent myself as out there as an author with this book. And I didn't know that either. You know, a lot of this is, I mean, I don't know about you, but this whole process for the past 3 years has been quite confusing for me.
Yeah,
going through
be.
It. Yeah, making the right decisions, taking the right roads, picking the right marketing strategies, the right people. So I thought, I don't know what that is, but I'll tell you what, I want somebody to help me with that. So again, I went out and I found someone who specialized in branding agent, like a personal brand agent who worked with authors and speakers and solopreneurs. And I hired her and I said, okay, we're going to, you know, I'm going to do this right. I don't want to look back and say, oh darn,
right?
You know, I'm a different person everywhere. You know, I want to be one voice, one message, and one brand. So what I've had to do is, you know, again, hiring the writer, hiring the brand specialist, and my website needs to be redone. So I've hired a web development company to help me with that. And then again, taking new pictures, you know, all of that. I mean, I need, you know, I'm just...
It's a recreation,
it's
right?
It's a holy recreation, because I had a bunch of new pictures taken 6 months ago. And of course, you know, my brand person looked at that and said, no, we need you to be different than that. Like, okay, no problem. We're going to do this. But it's, you know, what's fun about it, and it's exciting to me, because I'm really moving into the unknown, and I'm taking action. And I'm taking action, even though I'm a little confused or fearful, I still take the action. So what happens is doors open, and clarity actually is coming from the action. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So much so.
Yeah. So that's what I'm learning now. It's like, just start, just go. Go, and you're going to figure it out. And it's been working. So...
It's all about the action, because you could sit and contemplate and be what am I going to do? And as soon as you take action, you're like, oh, okay. And it might be the wrong one, but at least you know which way to go.
At least you know. Exactly. It's like, uh-oh, I don't want to. No. Don't go that way. No. Bad idea.
Fantastic. Well, I'm so excited to see where all of this is going to go for you. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
So now we've talked a little bit about Facebook and Canva. And what is a piece of software or a system that you use that you couldn't live without as an entrepreneur?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not very technical, and I'm just now kind of learning, getting into that whole world. You know, I still use MailChimp as, you know, for all of my email marketing. But I am very excited, to be honest with you, I'm working now with Infusionsoft, and I'm very excited about developing a relationship with them, learning it, and using it, because I think that is something that's going to take my business to the next level from a system standpoint, because I don't have anything like that now.
Right.
And so again, it's not something I use currently, but it is something that I've been learning about, studying, and something I'm going to pull the trigger on probably come January.
Fantastic. And yeah, I can't stress enough the importance of having a shopping cart that can do everything you need it to do. Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, well, there's a free one with, you know, with this product, and it's or a plug-in for this. And it's like, oh, it just makes me cringe.
Yeah. And there's something different for everything. And, you know, here's the other thing that I've been doing that's been so helpful for me, just from the technical standpoint, is Elance. I've been using Elance a lot. To help me, I hired a VA to help me with a launch I did recently, and I hired a designer to design my free workbook I'll tell you about later that I'm offering. But Elance has been wonderful, because I used to spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure things out on the computer and just figure it out. And I'm like, my brain's just not wired that way. So what I did is I said, you know what? I'm just going to delegate it. And it has been phenomenal for me. And I think I paid for my designer to design like a 46-page workbook. I paid like $230.
It's fantastic. I don't even know what we did before we had Elance. Like, how did solopreneurs do it?
How did people live before that? I know. And so, and to me, you know, I've been in business a while, but this particular part of it is new for me. So I'm getting in and, you know, really systematizing everything, which is what I, you know, that's my goal for 2015 is to get systems around everything I'm doing so it's easy.
Yep. It's a little standard easy. Standard operating procedures, as ugly easy. As that sounds. Yep.
I want easy. I want to have fun. I don't.
Yeah. What books have been influential in your life, whether it's a business or spiritual or what? And we all have those books we go to for everything. What are those for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have so many that I've got probably 1,000 books in my house. One that I absolutely love, you know, from a business standpoint, is Blue Ocean Strategy. I love being different. I love creating unique things. And this book was made a big impact in my life. Also, you know, just from a standpoint of helping me through difficult times, obviously my number one book in the world to me is the Bible. And that's what, you know, that's my spiritual book. Yeah. But When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron, that book helped me so much through some of my very, very difficult moments over my life. And it's a small, thin book, but it had such an impact.
Amazing when a book can be life-changing, isn't it? I love that. When you read it and you're like, oh, wow, okay, thank you. Thank you to the author, which is, you know, and that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to have people coming to you be like, thank you so much, which is wonderful.
Yes, yes. So that was very, you know, life-changing for me. I must have read it 6 times. Every time I had a problem, I would go, all right, I'm going to read this again.
So looking back on your journey, if you had to do anything differently, knowing what you know now, what would it be?
That's very easy. Oh my gosh. And I tell people this all the time, my clients, I say, look, if I could do anything different, I would start building my list immediately, because I didn't know 3 years ago the importance of online marketing and having a list. And I just didn't concentrate on it. I didn't focus on it. And so, you know, now I'm really just in the past probably 8 months or so, I've been really focusing on building it. So it's gold.
Yeah.
It's gold. Absolute gold.
It really is. And especially if you're working in the process and goal of having a passive income, if you don't have that list and a good list, a list like you were saying, you're targeting your avatar, not just a list, because sometimes people want to go buy lists. I'm like, well,
Lord, no, don't
do that.
No. And I'm so glad that you clarified that, Kimberly, because it is having, like, my open rate is somewhere between 35% and 45%. And, you know, I have people that they'll respond to me that, you know, we have relationships, and this is a list that really cares about what I have to say and wants to hear from me. And, you know, I'd rather have a small one of those than a, you know, one that's 50,000 people that don't even care about you. You know?
So true. Yes.
So it is very, very important, you know, that part. So.
Wonderful. Well, my next question would have been, where are you going in the future? And we already know where that is. And I am so excited to see what that is and see the book coming out. And although that's going to be a process, right? They didn't give you time frames on any of that stuff.
Oh, my goodness. No. And they also said, you know, it could be anywhere from 12 months to 2 years after I get a publisher.
Wow.
So depending upon, yeah, it's a longer process. But I've got a lot of other things in place. Courses I'm developing, you know, other money-making products that I'm going to have in the meantime. So I'm not relying on a book, obviously, to make the money. The book is going to be really to build my platform. So keeping my individual coaching clients and building that, having the courses, and then working on the book.
Fantastic. And any last bit of advice, a golden nugget to a listener who is either thinking of starting a business and they're not sure, or they're in it and they just need to take it to the next step. What's a golden nugget for them to take away?
Well, I have a couple of nuggets here. I would say don't let fear and overwhelm stop you. Number two, pick one thing and master it. And be patient. You know, it really does take time. There's no overnight successes. So when we're looking at it, you know, we're comparing our beginning to someone else's middle. So be very patient, and it will happen if you just don't quit. The other thing is consistency. 90%, probably 80 to 90% of the people that you're competing with are not consistent. So if you're consistent, whether that's a weekly newsletter or, you know, somewhere where you're touching your clients on a regular basis, if you're just consistent, you're ahead of the game.
That is such a true fact that people forget. Because otherwise they're like, and who was that? And where
right.
are they? And
oh, there they are again. They just email. I haven't heard from them in 3 months. Where have they been? You know, random. And so many people are like that. So if you're consistent, it builds trust. And that is one of the best pieces of advice I've gotten. Actually, that came from Brendan Burchard. I did some work with him in his courses, which I highly recommend his work as well.
He's fantastic.
Love him.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and your incredible, valuable information. And I cannot wait to see where you're going to be.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. This was wonderful.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.